like a Jean Harlow thing going on. She got like a 50s USO girl, 40s USO girl.
No,
look.
She needs to scrape some of that makeup off.
Yeah. She's got to play the old Hollywood thing. Christina Aguilera. I think that I'm not...
But look, her face doesn't even match her neck. Her neck is like 5 shades lighter.
It's like you'd always see... And I hate the stereotype, but it was always fat girls that would do this for some reason in high school. And girls, fat girls would have the makeup...
But you don't mean the stereotype.
I'm just saying, in my experience, it was girls of size. That's all I'm saying. It was the sweet-spirited girls, the jelly girls. And they... Look, not like I'm any prize. I'm flabtastic over here. You're going to be off point. My point is... In my experience in high school, maybe it was just the girls I knew who had the makeup mask where it's like they would put the makeup on, but for some reason they decided like it just could stop at the jawline. And so it's like they'd have one type of skin here, and then about 2 inches below that, whole different kind of skin. It was like somebody had just put some sort of a Barbie head on them or something. Also this, am I the only one who ever noticed this? Susan Reynolds from CBS Radio Marketing is going to join us here in a few. So be thinking about this since your daughter is... And I hate to be crude about this. I hate to speak in such blunt terms.
You shouldn't scare anyone.
How old is your daughter? 12? Your daughter's approaching what sociologists call makeout age. So I'm just saying, I can't shield you from the unpleasant truths, Susan. That's going to benefit no one. I'm going to say this, though.
Makeout age?
You know it's true. When did you first make out with a boy? Can I ask how old you were? And I'm not talking about like a peck on the chin, like a full-on makeout session. Above the neck only.
Yeah, yeah.
No hands.
I think
tongue only.
I think it was like seventh grade.
Seventh grade. Hey, what grade is your daughter in?
Seventh.
Wonder what she's doing right now.
Oh, I still remember his name.
Really? What was his name?
He lives in Seattle. Okay, David.
David? Really?
Yeah.
He wasn't a good kisser.
He slobbered all over me.
Of course. No,
it was so gross.
Too much tongue, too fast?
My whole face was just covered in spit.
My whole face was covered in spit. Was that his fetish? Can I just hold you down and spit on you for a while?
No, I think it was just both of us not knowing what the hell we were doing.
Seriously, no, that's...
Oh, it was Robert Novak.
It was Dick Morris. Will you put this leash on me? I apologize to Steve Kastenbaum, who's on hold, and having to be exposed to this. We'll talk to him in like 10 seconds. I'm just going to say this, though. I remember, though, I had like a fifth period was, I think that was when I had drama class or whatever the hell. Anyway, I just remember being in drama class, and you would see these girls come back from lunch. And it's only evident on girls. You can't spot it on boys. Girls would come back from lunch.
Oh, makeup face?
Yeah, missing the makeup from the nostrils down. Like the nose and up, still made up. A hair a little askew, but still made up. From the nose down, like a completely different kind of skin and color and complexion and tone. Why? Makeout. And, of course, it's like you don't want to sacrifice 2 minutes of making out to put on your makeup. You know, what you do when you put your cosmetic, that's 2 more minutes, you could be slobbering on each other. And so you just make out up until the bell rings, and then you run back to class, and then everybody can see that you've just been, like, humping it out in the janitor's closet. So, not to unnerve you, Susan. I don't want to unnerve you about what your child may or may not be doing at school right now. You don't even want to know about this friend of mine in seventh grade in the band room.
You know what I'm trying to find is my friend's little sister has a MySpace page that she added me on as a friend. She's 13. I can show you.
Have you seen that movie, 13? You don't want to see that, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, 503-733-2970. Davey Nipples is going to join us later on. Dennis Pitzenbarger, and in just a moment, you, the Rick Emerson audience, will get to raise Susan Reynolds' child. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson... Oh, Scotty made a sounder for him. I wonder if it's bad. Hold on a second. Scotty made a sounder for Steve Kastenbaum. Let's just... Not bad. That's not terrible. I don't know that it's good. It's not terrible, though. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent, Steve Kastenbaum. Hello, sir.
I like that. Very unique.
Well, it's what we do. We try to stamp everybody on the Rick Emerson Show with their own individual style and flavor, as the kids say. How's life in the big city?
It's cold. Oh, man, is it cold today. Really frigid out there. It was like 19 degrees this afternoon, and I was talking to these folks who are waiting outdoors online to buy tickets for the Mega Millions lottery test.
All right, let's stop this right now.
Mm-hmm.
What is the deal with people from New York saying online? Why is that? I'm not trying to...
Oh.
It doesn't bother me. I think it sounds kind of cool, truth be told. I have to say that it sounds kind of interesting that you have your own patois that you speak in. But is that a thing that people in any other city do? Do people in any other town say online as opposed to inline? Because that is a thing that New Yorkers say.
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. I guess growing up here, that's what I've always said.
I think I'm just going to start saying that right now. I'm going to start making that part of my lexicon now. Okay. I've just now updated the verbiage with which I communicate. All right. Well, in any event, I'm sorry. So people are waiting online or in line for what?
For tickets for that multi-state Mega Millions lottery jackpot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just a big parade of idiots is what that is.
370 million?
Yeah, well, you know, but here's the thing is, like, you see those people who are waiting, because we have the Powerball thing here, and where it's just like toothless hicks, just as far as the eye can see, just people waiting in line, and they're always, well, it's a $1 dream, just a bunch of idiots in line, and, you know, it doesn't matter, unless you've got like 50 kids, you know, and a car on your lawn, you're never going to win. That's who always wins that. It is as though you create your own luck just by spreading your idiot seed as far as the eye can see and not having a job, you know, and having a refrigerator full of Easy Mac. That's exactly how you guarantee that you're going to win the lottery. Oh, and then have a job where you make like 14 cents an hour. That's the other way to do that. Well, in any event. Hey.
Or usually it's an old person who doesn't have much more time left with us.
Totally. Did you see that? I shouldn't laugh. Did you see that story the other day about some guy? He's like 92 years old. He's got like one lung and, you know, and then like a tumor the size of a melon or whatever. And he wins $1 billion. It's just some huge thing. But they're going to pay it out in like $10,000 a year increments, and they won't up it at all. And he's got like 6 months to live.
Oh,
it's life. All right. Well, in any event, hey, I'm going to ask you about you got this thing about the this sounds like a dull story, but it's not dull to us. The story from the Institute for quote sleep wake disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I bring this up is I was having this big conversation with my wife the other night. We were driving back home, and I was driving by 7-Eleven, and 7-Eleven is advertising this product. It sounds like some sort of Asian product that's just been given a really clumsy, like overly descriptive, but somehow strange name. 7-Eleven, and I do have a point here, 7-Eleven is selling this product called Energy Coffee. I don't really know what energy coffee is. I'm assuming it's just some coffee that's just got this huge amount of caffeine or something in it. And I started thinking about energy drinks and energy sodas and beverages and super caffeinated coffee and all that kind of thing. And I was thinking that energy drinks are really a creation of the last 10 years. I mean, really, Red Bull sort of started the new golden age of energy drinks, and the energy drinks of every type and stripe now. And I started thinking to myself, why is it that energy drinks only existed as of about 10 years ago? It's not like caffeine is a new invention or a new discovery. We've isolated caffeine. We did that a long time ago. They've known for hundreds of years, at least, what caffeine was, where it came from, and what it did. Why did energy drinks just recently, like you think about the 70s, in the 70s there was no hyper-caffeinated beverage. You had Folgers and you shut your mouth and you were happy to have it. And that's all there was. My wife has this theory that it's because we as a culture are sleeping less and working more than we were like 20 years ago. Is that true, Steve Kassenbaum?
According to this study, she would be correct.
See, there you go. And before the study even came out, we were talking about this. That's how on the cultural pulse we are here at the Rick Emerson Show. So does that explain why Sarah's so grumpy all the time? Is that really?
Well, I don't know her personally, so I can't tell you.
I'm just saying. Well, what is the deal? So is it that just nobody sleeps, and when you sleep badly, and then people are grumpy all day?
They're saying that Americans as a whole are sleeping 20% less than they were before the year 2000. So take into account like the latter half of the last century and figure out how many hours on average people slept. We're now sleeping 20% less than that. And women are having a much harder time getting a good night's sleep than men are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
Stop looking at me.
I'm just saying that there's a few T's in my head that are now crossed. That's all. It's the only point I'm making. No, this is the only observation. You know what it is? Here's the thing, though. It really is that it's impossible to buy anything now that isn't caffeinated. I mean, there's literally, I mean, Sarah can tell you this, actually. Up on my desk right now is a big pack of caffeinated gum that I've taken to chewing all the time. And there's any number of people who would tell you that that's probably not something I need at this point. The bigger problem here is that the government just takes away everything that is actually effective in letting you sleep. You know what I mean? It's impossible to buy anything over the counter that is actually an effective sleep aid at this point. So this, as all things, just comes down to the government meddling in my life. If the government would just give us stuff that would actually be helpful in getting a good night's sleep, then this problem would be alleviated.
Well, The study said there's a number of factors that are keeping us awake. There's stress, and they're saying that we're dealing with an increased amount of stress. And also, there's just too much stimulus out there, that we're staying up late with the television on, with the computer on, with the text messaging going on, and your body doesn't know that it's time to shut down, that it's bedtime, because nobody turns this stuff off until the last minute. So the experts are saying, you know, turn off all that stuff, lower the lights in your house an hour or an hour and a half before it's time to go to bed, and your body clock will get the message that it's time to go to sleep, and then you'll get a good night's sleep.
Yeah. I got this, I was talking to Jim Roop about this in Los Angeles. I got this whole thing where I just go to bed, and I just lay there, and I stare at the ceiling, and then my brain just sits there. And did you ever notice this, that when you go to sleep at night, you're never pondering anything really important? Like, you're never sitting there staring at the ceiling of your bed and going, how is it that we can achieve true and lasting peace in Syria? Like, you're never thinking about that. You're just sitting there, and you're thinking about, like, peanut butter crunch berry and, like, where you could possibly find some at that time of night. Like, it's always just the most pointless crap on earth. So, all right. Well, there you go. Well, in any event, Steve,
yes.
I'm just gonna bring the whole curtain down on this segment right now. I will leave you with kind of an feeling right now, and we'll talk to you at some point in the near future, my friend.
All right, good night, Steve.
Yeah, thank you. Bringing it back around. There's Steve Kastenbaum. I was going to get off and do a whole thing again about... Never mind. We're already over time. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from CBS Radio Portland Marketing. Guru Susan Reynolds. Hello there.
Hi.
All right. So now, in an exciting and compelling social experiment, we've just decided to let your child... Have we used your child's name?
I don't know.
Would you prefer that we not? Would you like to come up with an alternate name?
Let's have a fake name.
Oh, a fake name. Okay.
How about Tiffany?
Well, truly, no, that's a fake name, because I would never name my child.
No, I guess that has that ring of hooker to it. What should we,
let's say future hooker.
Well, not Amber. You don't know what she's doing right now.
No.
Public schools are all gone to hell. You gotta buy your textbook somehow. Amber. Jasmine. You can stop me at any point.
Cinnamon.
Roxy.
Roxy. Oh. No, Noelle. Roxy. That's what it is. It's Roxy.
Okay, Roxy. Okay.
With an eye.
Your daughter. With a heart over it.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. All right. So when we last left the saga of Roxy, who is what, she's 12? She's going to be, when is she going to be 13?
This summer.
Does it scare you that she's just ramping up? That she's not even a teenager yet?
Does she know the worst is yet to come?
Oh, I do know.
You've got years of hell ahead of you?
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I'm going to just go over here in the corner and curl up in the fetal position.
So we have decided, now we here on the Rick Emerson Show, except for Scotty J. Now, we do not have children, so what better group of people to ask about child rearing and advice? We also do have the Rick Emerson audience out there. And so,
many of them do have children.
Yes. In a grand social experiment, we are going to have the Rick Emerson audience weigh in every so often about how to address the various issues in your child's life. So this is what, I'll give you the number right now. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970, and this is what Susan asked me this morning. She says I have a question for Sarah. I'm not sure why you address this to Sarah, but it says, not sure if you would have any insight on this, but I am struggling with how to get my seventh grader motivated enough to study and do better in school. I have tried everything from a very hands-on approach. What does that mean?
That means I sit down with her and we literally go through the assignment, you know, piece by piece, whatever it may be.
That's a lot of fun.
No, it isn't.
Now, because she intentionally drags her feet, right?
Oh.
She's slow. She's uncooperative. It takes like 5 hours to do one page.
And has already decided before we even start that she's not doing it and it's too hard and she gets frustrated and, yeah.
So I've tried everything from the very hands-on approach to the, well, if you don't care, then I certainly don't care. And by the way, if you keep going on like this, you'll end up working at 7-Eleven. So I hope that's okay with you, method. It's very frustrating because she only seems to care about her hair, her makeup, her clothing, and unless she has a plan to be the next Giselle, then she better work on the phrase paper or plastic. Please to help. So that was your email to me. Now, why did you address this specifically to Sarah?
Well, because she's a girl, and, you know, I don't know if girl teenagers, I think they have different issues than boys, and everybody that I know that's a parent, this is what they say.
Yeah, I can tell you one thing for sure. Empty threats about her working at McDonald's or 7-Eleven don't matter. Doesn't care. Doesn't even register.
Now, were you a good student in high school and in like...
I was Yeah, I was decent. I was like, I graduated like a 3.5.
Oh,
like
that's
really?
Oh,
yeah.
It's like way better than I ever did.
I mean, I was a good student too, and you know, but I can't think. She doesn't think that I have any experience that could help her in any way. You know, she just kind of thinks that I have no idea. I don't have a clue.
I was always raised, my household was pretty strict, where I would get grounded. Like, I wouldn't be allowed to do things unless I could show my mother that, you know, that I actually got my homework done and, you know, show her proof of it.
Yeah, but see, but you know, is that real proof or is that like, quote, proof? Is that like proof that you forged in a basement somewhere?
No, well, sometimes it was fake.
Did you ever alter, your, how do they do grades now? Is it like on computer or is it like, do they send a thing home?
Yeah, but you had the handwritten ones. And
I totally had a handwritten
computer.
Report card. I never had the guts to change my report card, though. I never altered my report card. I don't think I never did the thing of like turning like a D into a B or whatever. Like, I never did any of that stuff. I was too afraid.
No, now they send home a progress report, which literally lists day by day assignments, tests, quizzes, homework.
Oh,
and
so you know.
That's messed up.
That's completely messed up.
So we already know that the upcoming report card may be sort of mediocre based on what she's, you know, how
right.
it's going right now.
Right. So she can't get away with the, God, it sucks to be a kid now.
No.
This is why I'm the wrong person to ask for any of this, because I always just reflexively have more sympathy for kids than parents. And that has nothing to do with you.
No, right.
That's just me. That's just, I don't know why that is. And I think it's just because I just never outgrew my adolescence. But that sucks, man, because it's like when I was, do you have any homework? No. And it's like they had no way of knowing. Like my parents had only and solely my word to rely on about whether or not I had been given an assignment, whether I had a test coming up, whether I had a report that was due.
Yeah,
they have no way to know.
Yeah, this thing comes home, and if an assignment wasn't turned in, there's a little MI for missing, which means automatic F, which means that F goes into, you know, takes into consideration when they're figuring out what her whole grade will be for that particular subject. So you get the progress report, and it's so stressful. Because, you know, you're seeing things like D's and F's, and you're going, what? How could this be the cute, sweet
How could
little...
this be the same bundle of joy that was the light of my life for many years?
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, I'm stymied, and I thought, oh,
Rick,
do you
have any advice?
So the question specifically is, how do you motivate your daughter to do better in school?
Yes, I guess so.
Yeah, because right now she's motivated just by looking cute and by having all that, like, just by hair. Like, empty threats of, you're going to work at 7-Eleven won't even faze her because it doesn't. It's like those things where kids don't feel like they'll have unprotected sex because they just don't feel like they'll get pregnant because it just doesn't occur to them that it could.
Right.
You know?
I don't know. Everybody looks at me, but you don't see the thing is you don't want to hear. You don't want to hear what I have to say.
Well,
you don't want to hear. Is she a smart kid?
Yeah, and you know she used to be so into reading and all this stuff, and now it's like you can't get her to open a book unless there's, you know, a monetary reward given at the end.
See, my thing is not going to happen. There's just not my. And I hate to say that because my whole thing is like, there's nothing you can do. That, which I hate to say, and I know you hate to hear because it sounds like I'm just saying wash your hands of it. But I get to tell you, for me, and I suspect for a lot of people, that it's like, I just didn't care. I didn't care, and they couldn't make me care. There was nothing they could do to motivate me. The only thing that they ever did, the only thing that was ever effective on me, this is what a bad student I was, and I've told this story a billion times, and people think that it's fake. I know a lot of people think that I'm lying about this, but when I graduated from high school, at the graduation ceremony, there was like a program where they listed like what the song was going to be and who the commencement speaker was, and then in the back they listed the students in the graduating class, and they listed them by GPA, which is a cruel thing to do.
Oh, horrible!
That is terrible.
It's like listing girls by weight at the company directory. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's not happening here.
But when I graduated from high school, they listed the graduating students by GPA, and I was like third from the bottom. I mean, I was an astoundingly bad student. I mean, I was a terror. And the only reason I even graduated from high school was two things. A, because I had one teacher. My graduation actually literally came down to one test in one class. I mean, it couldn't have been scripted like if it was a Hollywood movie. I mean, it came down to one test that I had to pass, and I only passed it because the teacher, I think, knew that I just couldn't take another year of high school, that I couldn't take repeating a year, and he let me take my final exam as an oral exam, and he let me give a speech to the class. It sounds like a joke, but he let me, of all people, give a speech to the class as my final exam, and then he gave me like 100%, and I graduated. But I also had to do correspondence courses. I mean, I was like every parent's failing, imploding, you're going to end up working in an auto parts store for the rest of your life nightmare. I had to take correspondence courses where, like, they would send me crap in the mail, and I would fill it out.
Ugh.
And the only reason I even did those is because my poor sainted mother paid for them. My mom actually took an outside job to pay for my correspondence courses that I took in high school so that I could graduate. And that, like, the mom guilt was the only thing that got me to apply myself. And even then, that was only when I was a senior and the jig was almost up. Because they, I mean, the moment of clarity I had was when, like, you know, they get those graduation announcements that kids send out.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you were invited to the graduation of Sarah Dillon at whatever. And my mom, like, didn't. She came and she's like, I'm not going to buy graduation announcements. She's like, I don't want to spend the money. She's like, we actually didn't have a lot of money. She's like, I don't want to spend the money if you're not going to graduate. She's like, no offense, I love you, but I'm not buying graduation announcements for you. And she told me, and it's the saddest thing. She's like, if it turns out that you graduate, we'll make our own and send them out. You know, she's like, we'll make them at home and so, I'll print them out at work. And we'll send them. And she wasn't saying it to give me a guilt trip, but it did make me feel really terrible. And I sort of busted my ass to graduate in the last few months. But for 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, they just couldn't make me care. I hated school. I hated the teachers. I hated going. I hated everything about it. I found it dull. And there was no amount of threatening. There was no amount of social ostracization that was gonna work. So I hate to sound like I'm just washing my hands of the kid, but I don't think you can make kids do anything they don't want to do, and I think the harder you push them, the more that they just revert into apathy as a passive way of spiting you.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm afraid of, because, you know, I'm trying all these different extremes, you know, and you hear about sort of...
Sorry?
The tough love thing, you know, and I don't know, and I don't want to give up on her because... Well, she's my kid.
And you shouldn't give up on her.
No, I'm not saying to give up, but I'm saying I think kids...
I'm saying you're in for a bumpy ride, and if you're willing to punish her, that might be...
Oh, we've already, you know, taken away a lot of privileges. Just...
Did she listen to you? My mom scared me. Like, she... I don't know. The only times that she got through to me is when she took something that's really important for me.
Yeah,
and
I
made me work for something.
Well, you've already taken away everything from her, right?
Yeah,
nothing left.
Yeah. I haven't had to take away a door lately, but, you know.
We've got an email about this, Rick, and then we'll get these calls. Rick, I don't know if this will help at all since I don't have kids yet, but I remember that as a kid myself, I was just expected to do well in school, so that's what I did. And if there were times that I got out of line, whether in school or different areas, my mom and dad busted out the oh-so-terrible... What's the worst thing you can hear from your mom? What's the worst thing you can hear from your mom? He totally nailed it here.
Oh.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I want to make sure I don't say it, whatever.
Sarah, we're just going to do a little role-playing here. Just going to look in your eyes and say this. Well, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
That worked, too. That worked, too. Mom guilt worked pretty well on me. Guilt. So I don't mean to sound so nihilistic. But guilt did work pretty well on me. And what a horrible thing. What a horrible thing we're doing that we're sitting here just scheming up ways to manipulate your child. But mom guilt works pretty well.
My
mom had the eyebrow. I know I was in trouble when she raised the one eyebrow.
The thing is, your mom's a teacher, so she really had fine-tuned that probably. The thing is, you just can't ever let your kids know that, like, that you've cracked. You can't ever show any weakness. That's the thing. Because when you deal with your kid, it's like a sales negotiation. Either you are closing the kid or the kid is closing you.
Yeah.
Either you're going to sell them on why they got to do schoolwork or they're going to sell you why they're not going to do it. And if you show any weakness, that's it. You will buckle like a belt.
Well, and I know I was saying things like, I've had enough. And she said, well, you said that last time.
See? Kids don't ever forget.
Oh, I know.
Kids don't ever forget, and they will spot any contradiction. They'll spot anything you do, any sort of weakness that you show, they will spot and they'll remember. I think that there are just two kinds of people in this world. I think there are people who are motivated to learn. I think there are people who are not. I think a lot of people who are motivated to learn, they'll go through long stretches where they don't. Because
especially if it's adolescence.
And especially if you're a smart kid. If you're, Let me just say what nobody else will say here, is that most of the kids who do really well in school are just goddamned idiots, though. Most of the kids who do read, and I won't use her name, but I will tell you this, a valedictorian in my high school had the IQ of a plant. I mean, she has the brains of an end table. Because high school is a lot of, like, mindless memorization and recitation and regurgitation of facts that you will never use again. And if you're a kid who's savvy at all, this is the worst thing about it, is you can't tell them any of this either. You can't admit to your high school kid that high school is ultimately pointless, because then that gives them carte blanche to just slack. But if you're smart at all, you will have realized by about sixth grade that you will never learn any of it, or you never use any of this ever again. And then you sort of feel like you don't have to learn it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's get a couple of these. It's 503-733-2970. Curtis, hello.
Yeah, Rick, why don't you counsel me about my 5-year-old son? I think he's got a temperament that's going to make it very tough for him to make it through school. And I think he gets a lot of it from me.
Well, perhaps not having more children would be the answer there. I don't know. I have. Now we're actually going to even smaller children who are even less controllable than that. Yeah, I got nothing. I don't know. We'll do 5-year-olds next week. Benjamin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's up?
I am much like you. I did not enjoy school very much, and I got the hell out as soon as I could. I didn't enjoy school until I went to college, because it was something of my choice that I was actually interested in learning. But here's the thing. A lot of people think kids, oh, they love to learn. They just need to be challenged and motivated properly. No, that's a bunch of BS. Kids don't want to be in school. They're forced to go. They get punished if they don't go. And I've had this thought for a long time. Why do you go to work?
Yeah, I go to work because I have to, or my landlord will evict me.
To get a paycheck.
Yes.
You go to work to earn money. So, a lot of people were telling me as I was growing up, well, school is your job right now. I'm like, well, how come I'm not getting paid? So here's my thing. We pay kids to go to school.
Now, do you do the thing, Susan, of giving her, like, cash if she gets good grades?
Well, she gets allowance, you know, every week. And, I mean, there have been a few rewards handed down.
See, and I go back and forth on that. I never know. And again, I don't have any kids. It doesn't really matter what I think. But I go back and forth on the paying kids for getting good grades thing. And then you have a good point, though, that, I mean, it does instill in them early on. I cannot believe that I'm having such a socially responsible. Let's make sure to note this to the FCC.
Yes,
but it does instill in them early on the correlation and the connection between working hard and having a tangible financial reward, which, of course, is what happens later in life.
Exactly. And the way you lay that out is you say, okay, you can do it very simply and say for each A, you get $10, for each B, you get $5, for each C, you get nothing. Or you can say, what I would like to see personally is for every hour that kids are in school, they get paid an hourly wage that's based on their GPA.
It does seem a little insane that we pay prisoners but not school children.
Damn right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
I feel it.
All right. Oh, I kind of like that idea.
A lot of people say, well, you shouldn't have to bribe your children. You shouldn't have to do a lot of things.
Well, you know what we do.
Well, you know, it's a fair point, though. I mean, that kids do feel, and again, in so many ways, I am both the best and worst person to ask about this, because as I have this really ill-concealed hostility, it was still within me about my experience in the public school system.
I can tell.
In this country. And I can tell you, the entire time, it's not like I'm like the sharpest knife in the drawer, but the entire time that I was in school, I just felt like I was just in hell. I could not wait. The most vicious, most violent argument I ever had with my parents, violence is the wrong word, but very, 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 very bad. Just a knockdown, drag out, horrible fight that it just took me weeks and weeks and weeks to get over with my parents. When I was about 14, and I wanted to drop out and get my GED. Because I just hated school so badly. And at that time in Washington, if you had your parents' permission, you could drop out and you could get your GED when you were, I think, either 14 or 15. And I was just absolutely dead set on doing that. I just didn't want to go to school for another day. And I was like, that's it. Like, you're signing this, and I'm taking my GED, and I'm getting the hell out. Because I just hated it with everything in me. And I think that's what so many kids, especially if you're smart, and you look around, and you're just surrounded by dullards, being taught by imbeciles a lot of the time, and you're just like, why am I here? You know? So, I don't mean to be just filling you with, like, blackness and despair, but I mean, if she's smart, it's not going to get any easier.
No, and she is smart, and, I mean, I have heard that this middle school age is the roughest part, and that it should...
Oh, that's a lie.
Well, maybe somebody was trying to make me feel better, but...
No, I think, like, eighth, ninth, 10th grade.
Oh, okay.
I think it's even rougher in high school. They just get better at concealing it from you. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll that's fine.
Then you won't have to know.
Right.
It's like don't tell me about it. Tracy, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey. You know, I just wanted to say, make sure that your daughter doesn't have some sort of learning disability on top of it. She may be really bright, but if she's struggling that hard academically, there could be something else there. I'm a teacher, and my son had it, and I didn't even know it until his senior year, and we were saying the same thing. You're not applying yourself. You're not working hard enough. We took away things. It didn't matter. Finally, we had him tested, and the kid was off the charts, ADD. So there could be other things going on. Maybe not. I mean, I don't know your daughter. I'm just saying, you know, when you're saying she's saying it's too hard, it's too this, she's already decided she can't do it. Maybe there's something more there, so it might be worth looking at.
You know, the problem with that, though, is I got to tell you, I don't know, man. It's like if you take her, but first of all, I have this real strong belief that everybody gets diagnosed with having ADD or a learning disability or being, you know, everybody has some problem that they need to be on Ritalin for at this point. And the problem is if she ever gets diagnosed with anything that, then you're never going to be able to get her to do anything ever again.
Right.
Because she's going to run to the ADD as an excuse every time she doesn't want to do something.
Yeah, here's my
doctor's note. My son is now a senior at Oregon State. And is doing very well on medication. You know, so I think it can go either way. You can use it as an excuse, but you can also say, hey, if it's an actual thing, then maybe there's more. But, you know, it might not specifically apply. And then I say figure out what her currency is. I don't believe in paying kids for grades. But, you know, if she doesn't get to go to Hollister to buy what she wants or to Abercrombie to buy her makeup or whatever, Mom, take it away.
Yeah.
If she likes being pretty, then some of that stuff, she has to earn it somehow.
If she gets a bag, you could take something that she loves and just smash it in front of her into small pieces. Buy her something pretty and then set it on fire.
Here's your iPod, and then I can just dig my heel into it.
That's fantastic. I would do that. I smell another remote. All right, let's see. This is Maya. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
I was just going to say, and I feel horrible saying this because I was terrible in middle school as well. I think, I almost failed all of eighth grade because I refused to do homework because I thought it was useless.
Right.
But I feel like I'm betraying myself as a middle schooler saying this, but I would actually think about after-school tutoring because if she's stuck there with nothing else to do but homework, then A, if she does have a problem with learning it, then she's going to find somebody who will, like, hopefully be able to help her with that. And B, she'll have nothing else to do but that homework then.
Man, but you give a kid a tutor, and it's like having the retard stick with
well,
you.
Well, I did. I said, let's get a tutor.
I mean, my mom was a teacher, too, but my mom taught Head Start, so my biggest problem was elementary school. My mom would check all of my homework. And by the time I got to middle school, I refused to let her see any of my homework ever, ever again. Because she would force me to do it over and over and over again for the tiniest little mistakes.
Well, I'm really bad at
it. The only thing that would have gotten me to do any homework whatsoever that I didn't want to do would be if I had nothing else to do.
All right, so there you go. So maybe just a dungeon and a moat.
Yeah, well, because I'm challenged by math, and she had some math homework that was really hard, and I had to look up, you know, online how to do it. And I said, why don't we get a tutor? And she immediately said, no, that'll mean I'm stupid.
That's totally it. That's the thing, man. It's like a kid has a tutor, and suddenly he's wearing a helmet and drooling. Yeah, that's no good.
I don't think tutors are a bad thing at all. I would have failed college if I didn't have a tutor, because that was set aside time that I could actually do that crap.
I don't think there's anything wrong with him, but I think there's a stigma. I mean, I think that totally is a stigma.
Well, she wouldn't want anybody to find out.
That's the thing. Well, no, my friend Chris. I knew him from grade school, middle school. We got into high school, and suddenly, of our group of friends, he was the only one who had a tutor. And I know that we immediately looked at that guy like he was missing half his teeth from that day on. I mean, fair or not. Let's do a few more here. We're the Rick Emerson audience is raising the child of Susan Reynolds. Kelly, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Susan. I just wanted to say I'm working on my PhD in adolescent psychology.
Oh, can I get your number up here?
I want to give you a little support in that I was a terrible adolescent. I dropped out of high school. I had a zero GPA.
Fantastic.
I worked at the flat pantry. I went to beauty school.
Oh, God. Are you single? God bless you. You're my,
yes, I am.
You're my mirror twin.
I didn't think you could get a zero GPA.
Oh,
zero.
You certainly can.
Zero. You really have to work at it. That's almost like more work in the opposite direction.
I felt oddly proud, really.
Yeah, yeah. And so
some kids take a different road, and sometimes it's okay.
Did you actually drop out of beauty school?
I was kicked out of
that
beauty school.
That is so hot. Seriously, wow. What celebrity do you most resemble?
No good ones.
More beauty school might have done you well then. All right, but you're doing what now? You're getting a PhD?
I'm working on my PhD, specializing in adolescent psychology.
All right, so now what was the... Did you just wake up one day and you're at a plaid pantry selling Skoll to some guy in like a Jim Beam hat and you're like, I have got to reassess my life?
It was after the beauty school. What did it?
Maybe you should just go have her hang out at a cosmetology class for a few weeks, Susan.
Oh, it'll do it. A lot of pregnant girls smoking a lot of cigarettes.
Fantastic. Excellent.
Finding her currency really is important, understanding what she values, and maybe even if you've raised a good kid and she's good and she's smart, she may just be taking a different road. I mean, if she's torturing neighborhood cats and wetting the bed, you know,
Susan?
Maybe you can't save her. But
no to both.
She's pretty
not
much
today.
A good kid. She may just be going down a slightly different road than most of us did, and that can still turn out okay.
Well,
so don't lose hope.
And here's the other thing. The other thing is, thank you, Kelly. I appreciate that. All right, there you go. That's funny.
I love Kelly.
That's Kelly. Me too.
She's fantastic.
I don't even want you. I don't care what she looks like. I love her. 0.0, and she went to beauty school. Anyway, it's just because in my head, all girls like that look like Luann Hill, except not animated. The thing about it is that, and Sarah would probably agree with me on this, is that no matter how smart you are, and I mean, it's not like I'm the smartest guy on earth, but I'm maybe, you know, a cut above the average mouth breather, you know, in Kennewick at least. And the thing about it is, no matter how smart you are, like knowing that you're smarter and knowing that you're maybe sharp or a little bit savvy, like, that doesn't do you any good. Like, that doesn't solve any of the problems that you want to solve in high school. Like, the fact that I was really smart and that I knew, the fact that I could recite every Twilight Zone episode in order and all 23 Kiss albums and give you the production credits on them, the fact that I could recite to you the lyrics of every Led Zeppelin song ever and that I knew, you know, what a quadratic equation was, none of those things were getting me laid. None of those things were giving me good skin. None of those things were giving me a normal-sized nose. None of them was giving my family any more money. None of them was helping me dress any better. None of those things was changing the fact that I was just a gangly, pasty freak. And that was all the stuff that mattered to me. And so there was a period of time when I was a teenager where... I mean, I've joked a lot about how I just desperately wish that I was dumb because the dumb people are so happy. There's nobody happier than somebody who's just a blithering idiot. And I didn't go through a period where I was dumb, but I think I certainly went through a period where I acted less intelligent than I was, and I hung out with people who were maybe not all that bright. Because let's be honest, 90% of people aren't all that bright. Most people are deeply stupid in one way or another, and they seemed like the people who were having all the fun and running everything, so I kind of wanted to be in that crowd, and I acted you know, a lot less smart than I was. So maybe she's doing that.
Well, it could be. I mean, you know, she's very caught up in the social stuff, and that does happen with girls in 7th and 8th grade.
And that's pretty intoxicating when mm-hmm. you're a teenager. The fact that if you at all get any entree into some sort of a group or a clique or a cast that is popular or that has any sort of glamour to it. I mean, that's incredibly seductive, you know, when you're, I don't know, 12 through whatever. 12
yeah, that, I mean, that is what they are all consumed with now. So, right. You know, I think I've heard a few things that make some sense to me. And
there you go. See, look at you knowing how to close a segment out. Fantastic. Well, let's take one more call here. Let's talk to our good friend, Mailman Chris, who joins us on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello. So much for a lowered profile, right?
Yeah, I was thinking that lasted a day.
well
done.
And I can still do this infrequently. Thank you to everyone who was sending me MySpace messages going, you didn't get fired, did you? No, everything's cool. I just want to lay down a little bit and not.
You don't wish to raise the ire of your employer.
Exactly.
Yes.
Now, and I'll give you a couple things. I've been talking with our weekly therapy appointments about the same issues, the exact same issues. And some of the things he said to us were, first of all, your punishment's short and sweet. You can't ground them for months. You can't ground them and keep them grounded. You have to ground them or take things away for 2 days at a time. Because it gives them a chance to earn it back. And if they're continually misbehaving, if they're continually doing things the wrong way, they're going to lose it again. But there's a glimmer of hope.
It's like if you're some guy who's serving a life sentence, what do you care if you stab another inmate?
Oh,
who cares?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Exactly. And when it comes to the grade, paying for grades, we all strive to be average. I mean, we don't necessarily go out of our way every day, and we get paid to go to work, to be there. You know, maybe you take a couple days every year, and, you know, maybe you put in a little bit of overtime. But you do the average job, you get the average check. So if the kid's getting C's and, you know, a couple of tardies, a couple of sick days, you know, and then there's nothing really to worry about. Once the grades start dropping, that's when you have to start taking things away. But if those grades go up, then, and you get those progress reports, get to know the teachers. I have the email addresses of every teacher, and I consistently contact them. How's he doing? You know, and when I get the reports, that's when he gets the money to go to the mall and hit the Hollister and you know, pick up a couple of new songs for his cell phone.
Being a parent sucks. Being a parent is so much work. Every time we have a discussion like this, it's like I just want to make sure that I've got like a big stack of condoms everywhere. Everywhere I could ever conceivably be, no pun intended. I salute people who do it and do it well, but I just cannot even fathom that. I mean, it's insane. All right, we're so short we got to bail here, my friend.
At least my 4-year-old does nice.
I was just gonna say, and there are no unintended fires burning in your backyard that you know of. So, all right, there you go, Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Well, that was some good advice too, and you know, I just have to. It's one day at a time.
Okay.
You know, it's like a 12-step program that never ends.
Well, and you've got a liquor cabinet at home, probably, so.
During the break, I'll show you the page that I was talking about.
Okay.
What?
My friend's little sister's MySpace page. It's about her daughter's age.
Is it disturbing?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, you can't do that. You can't. What does it say? This is, okay, by the way, I think this is not Susan's kid's MySpace page.
Oh, God,
no.
But this is a 13-year-old girl that you know or that you are one degree removed from. What does it say?
Oh, no, nothing. Well, first of all, it says she's 20.
Yeah, that's always the first.
Yeah.
Why would she be doing that, I wonder?
And then, I don't know, a lot of it I actually can't read on the air, so.
Really? Does it concern her romantic exploits?
Not really, but she uses language that isn't appropriate.
Really? All right, fantastic. All right,
we haven't taken the 20, so we need to break
really?
It down.
Really? Jesus, God. All right.
Well, this was so fascinating.
Yeah, time flies, and I'm raising the children of others.
Well, thank you for your help.
That's what I do. Susan Reynolds, ladies and gentlemen, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru, 503-733-2970. Stay there. Back after this with Davey Nipples, Dennis Pitzenbarger, and the top five. Don't go anywhere.